This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And the podcast is available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page and you can find the podcast available there. While there on our show page, charlestonsportsradio.com, you can also leave a comment for the show. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Or you can always join the conversation on the phones as well, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Caught up earlier with Corey McCartney talking about the Atlanta Braves. You can find that conversation on demand by searching the podcast. Talked about Big 12 media days as we get towards this whole talking season in college football. And it's going to be even more interesting now with all the moving and the shaking and the uncertainty in certain areas of college football. SEC media days coming up. Mike Gundy was, I thought, had some interesting points yesterday that we touched on last hour. You can find it all on the podcast. We'll get back to our Gen X bingo card as well later on a Throwback Thursday. And I was very disappointed. If you listen to the show, you know I talk each and every week about how Wednesday night's supposed to be my pickup basketball night. And sure enough, it seems to rain on most Wednesdays. So yesterday, because of the rain that came through, we had to cancel things. So no basketball last night. Very disappointed. Couldn't get out there and run around. We've gone a few weeks now without being able to play because of the stupid weather. Anderson, what sports did you play growing up?
I played golf. Still into that a little bit. The only sport you can really, well, other than, I guess, basketball and adult league softball, but sport you can play for life, I guess.
Yes.
And then in high school, I played football and basketball.
Oh, look at that. Got another basketball player around here. I tell you what, we could put together a pretty good team with all the youthfulness we have in this building now.
Oh, yeah.
With you guys and all your basketball ability.
Should make a summer league team.
That's right.
Join one of those rec leagues.
Yeah, we got to join a men's league because we got a bunch of young guys that we can run circles around those old guys out there. And I'm one of those old guys nowadays, but we can it's like a B12 shot. Get some energy out there because our program director around here does a lot of talking about playing basketball. So now we got a full starting five here in the building. So that's pretty good. Hey, speaking of basketball, it's how we open the show, and I want to circle back to it, the NBA and their big issue. Because Adam Silver addressed this. We talked about it the other day. It's known. It's why Adam Silver had to address it. It's obvious. The big problem facing the NBA and what they're dealing with. And it's the big story this offseason with Kevin Durant trying to force his way out of Brooklyn. And that's just the latest example of these players in the NBA trying to force their way to other teams, not wanting to play. The biggest problem the NBA has right now is just getting their stars out there on the court. And that's an issue. That should not be the problem. We don't have to worry, like, is Patrick Mahomes going to play this week? Is he going to be okay to play for the Chiefs this year? In the NBA, we don't know if the stars are going to be out there. We don't know who they're going to play for, when they're going to play, how many games they're going to play. Are they happy? You know, you talk about in college sports always having to recruit kids now because of the transfer portal. You're recruiting them even when they're on campus. You're recruiting them all 4 years. You have to make sure that they're happy. In the NBA, it's the same idea. What can we do to make you happy? And even when Brooklyn does everything that Kevin Durant wishes, well, still unhappy, evidently. Wants a trade. So here was Adam Silver in his comments talking about this big issue in the NBA with these guys trying to demand trades, force where they go, and essentially the players running the league. Here's what the NBA commissioner said.
I don't know whether he requested a trade or demanded one, but this needs to be a two-way street. Teams provide enormous security and guarantees to players, and the expectation is in return that they'll meet their end of the bargain. I'm realistic that there's always conversations that are going to go on behind closed doors between players and their representatives and teams, but we don't like to see players requesting trades, and we don't like to see it playing out the way it is.
Adam Silver talking about the trade requests in the NBA. So we have that going on in the NBA. We have the Braves dropping 2 out of 3 against the Mets this week and the importance of that series. And that takes us to this, where which we do from time to time to get you caught up in the biggest stories of the day. But it's the Big Two at Two.
The Big Two at Two, where Luke recaps the two biggest stories of the day right here on the Morrow Midday Show.
I was posed an interesting question earlier, that if you swapped the commissioners of the NBA and the NFL, how would things work out if you swapped Adam Silver for Roger Goodell? I think all the commissioners are unpopular. In fact, Adam Silver may be the most popular amongst fans and even the players. I also think that's a problem because he doesn't work for the players. He works for the owners. But he's too much of a player's commissioner. I think if you swap the two, I think Roger Goodell probably would be better off. I think Roger Goodell's the best commissioner we have. He's popular to hate. We hate all of our commissioners. We give them all a hard time. We call them all idiots. They don't know what they're doing. But for Roger Goodell, since taking over, the NFL continues to grow. They're bringing record profits. They're pulling away from every other sport. He has gotten them on every network and also streaming now as well. I think Goodell has done just a fine job. You may not like how he handles certain suspensions. That's not supposed to be, you know, that's not supposed to fall on his plate. That's why they went out and they've put together now a committee that handles those types of things. He's more on the business side and bringing in money and what's best for the league. And I think he's done a pretty darn good job. Adam Silver is popular because he's very media friendly. The media likes him. People in the media know him personally. He's well-spoken. He's a smart guy. He comes off as a good guy. Right? He's never, Rob Manfred has put his foot in his mouth. Adam Silver never really has done so. But I don't think Adam Silver has been a good commissioner for the NBA. And I think this is one of the problems. Right? He works for the owners, and yet nobody has been better for the players. He's too much of a player commissioner. And the biggest problem the NBA is facing is trying to get players to actually play in games. That's a pretty big issue. Right? Just like if you were running a company and you tried to, it was such an effort to get your employees to work, that'd be a pretty big problem. Man, they don't want to work. And they didn't show up today. And when they do show up, right, they don't want to do anything. And it wouldn't be good for your company. But between load management and player empowerment, it's hard to get the guys out on the floor. They're either sitting out a third of the games during the regular season or, you know, they're forcing their way. They're just sitting out in general, sitting out for the entire season, forcing their way out from that city. Ben Simmons just refusing to play all year. James Harden forcing his way out in back-to-back seasons. Kyrie Irving refusing to play the last 2 years and now trying to force his way out. And Kevin Durant doing it with 4 years left on his contract. It's not great. And if you're a player, here's the kicker. You don't have to sign these contracts. Right? If you don't want to commit 4 extra years to the Nets, you don't want to be there, don't sign the deal. You don't have to. But when the NBA players want the long-term security and all that money, but not honor that commitment, right, you can't have it both ways. An NBA GM recently said that this is the worst thing that has happened. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the worst thing that has happened to sports at any level. The player empowerment, how they have all the leverage, the front offices don't. It's not good for the teams. And players, regardless of what you think about your favorite athlete, they may be very intelligent. They may be good businessmen, right? Magic Johnson has been good in business. Even Alex Rodriguez, LeBron James seems to have a good business sense. Doesn't mean they should be running the league while they're still playing in said league. Well, if you look at the average age of the CEOs for the Fortune 500 companies, it's 57. Because, as I said earlier, experience is always the most important thing. The players should not be running the league. That's why you have these front office executives and a commissioner and all these people in these roles. Once they retire, yeah, if you're Michael Jordan, right, you could buy a team, try to run a team. Magic Johnson, same idea. You could work for the league. Guys go on and do that. Isaiah Thomas was like working for the NBA at one point. But not when you're currently playing. You may think you know what's best for the league. You probably know what's best for you, but that's not always what's best for the league itself. What Kevin Durant sees as what's best for him isn't necessarily best for the NBA. Now, here's the thing in all this. With all of that said, I don't like the direction of the league with the player empowerment and demanding trades and guys sitting out games. But, as they say, no publicity is bad publicity. In one sense, this is all kind of good for the league. Because what's everybody been talking about? Yeah, Kevin Durant. And now even Donovan Mitchell and all these trades in the NBA offseason. It's more interesting than the actual games. the drama in the offseason. It's more interesting than anything else going on in the sports world. Maybe not for you, maybe not for me, maybe not here on our station, but in general, if you took a poll or you just, you know, were watching all of the different media coverage throughout the country, I think the Durant storyline's gotten more run than even college football, changing overnight with that USC-UCLA announcement. And they both broke that news on the same day. The decision was a huge deal. When LeBron was a free agent, by the way. But it was the biggest thing of that summer. LeBron choosing where he was going to go. There was a TV special. I remember where I was watching that. We just had the anniversary. What, the, I think, 11-year anniversary? 12-year? Just passed it about a week or two ago. I remember exactly where I was, who I was with, when I was watching. That was a huge deal. And all he was doing was announcing which team he was signing with next. The NBA offseason's more interesting a lot of times than the actual regular season. And it works really well on social media with a younger generation, and that's important nowadays. So I'm sure there's also part of Adam Silver that kind of appreciates all this because it gets people talking about his league. And again, no publicity is bad publicity. At least they're talking about the NBA. I mean, this is Major League Baseball's time to shine. They're the only sport going on. We're heading into the All-Star break. I think the NBA is getting more attention because of Durant than even Major League Baseball, and they're actually playing games. As a basketball fan, I don't like it. I don't like the player movement. I don't like Kevin Durant signing this contract, and then with 4 years left after the Nets did everything for him, trying to force his way out. I think it's also soft. I don't like players sitting out games. You buy a ticket, you don't know who you're going to see that night. You try to tune in on TV, the stars aren't playing. It's not good. But there is part of this that for a portion of the fan base, they do enjoy it. Whether it's on social media or the drama or the gossip or the offseason, the wondering what's going to happen or being able to play GM at home with their favorite team. I don't think it's good for the league, but there's part of it that does kind of help out the NBA, and that's probably why Adam Silver does maybe secretly appreciate it. Story number two that we talked about earlier is the Braves and the Mets. Look, the Braves dropped 2 out of 3 for the Mets. You're not going to overreact too much to a series in July. We still have not reached the All-Star break. But I thought, number one, the Mets really made a statement to go into Atlanta against the hottest team in baseball and win the series. I thought, number two, a little bit of a concern to come out of this series for the Braves is all their runs only scored on homers. Now, we talked about this earlier with Corey McCartney, and you can find that interview on demand. But they only scored when they hit a home run. The Braves lead the league in homers. They're on pace to set a franchise record. Seems like a good thing. Problem is, teams that are too reliant on home runs don't actually win in October. It's what has kept the Yankees back for a dozen years. So if you're the Braves, you just played against the Mets, right? The most important games on your schedule throughout the year, the team you're competing with directly in your division, you only scored on homers against a pretty good pitching staff. It could be a little bit of a glimpse of what could potentially play out in October. Now, the Braves do get the Mets 12 more times. It'll be really fascinating. But as Corey said, the Mets will also probably be better off when they face them in the future because they'll get DeGrom back and some of the hitters that were unavailable this week. And then my third takeaway from all this is that, again, you don't want to overreact to some games being played in July, but it's always important whenever you face somebody in your division because you get a win, they get a loss. And if you go back to 2012, every team since then that has won the NL East has the best record against the division. Since 2012, when the Braves have won these divisions 4 years in a row, it's because they've had the best record in the division. Right now, the Mets have by far the best record in the NL East against the NL East. And the Marlins have the next best. The Braves have only the third best record. And almost half of their wins have come against the Nationals, who they play this weekend. So that's the big issue. The Braves are playing really good baseball. They have the best record in baseball the last 6 weeks. They're going to be fine. They're going to be a playoff team. They very well could win the division still. I'm not telling you to sell your stock or to punt or, you know, the Braves are doomed. None of that. But to drop 2 out of 3 at home against the Mets after the way they've been playing, a little discouraging. The Mets were the ones that made a statement. The Braves only scored on homers. That can be troubling. And the Braves missed an opportunity to gain some ground on that first-place team. They need to do better against the National League East. They have the third-best record in that division. The Marlins are better against their own division. And the last 9 division winners have the best record in the division against the NL East. Right now, it's the Mets. So the Braves, you have to take advantage of those opportunities to give yourself a win and give the Mets a loss along the way as well. By the way, Buck Showalter had quite the quote after the game yesterday where he said something along the lines of, let me see if I can pull it up quick. But he said something along the lines of, I'm not going to say they didn't want it in regards to the Braves, but we wanted it more. Something along those lines from yesterday's finale, which, you know, was a day game. It was getaway day for the Mets. The Braves were at home. Are the Braves Are they playing in Washington this weekend? I guess it was getaway day. Yeah, they are in Washington. So I guess it was getaway day for both teams. And a lot of times that could lead to some ugly performances because you're looking forward to that trip. You just want to get out of town. Afternoon game. You just played the night before. Quick turnaround. You're looking to, yeah, let's just get on the plane and go to the next city. And the Braves have struggled in series finales in recent weeks. But Showalter, even he's not one to, he's not afraid to have strong opinions or to share what he really thinks. And he made a comment yesterday, something along those lines, about the Mets wanting it more than the Braves. And I don't think, I don't know if it's full bulletin board material, but the next time you play the Mets, if you're the Braves, right, that should get you a little fired up. Yeah, I got it. I finally grabbed the quote. Showalter said yesterday after the game, "I'm not saying they didn't want it," talking about the Braves, "but our guys, you could tell they were ready to play today." That's kind of taking a little bit of a shot at the Braves. Like, yeah, our guys are ready to play. You know what you're saying in that. What you're saying, they weren't. Our guys were ready. Their guys weren't ready. So Showalter taking a little bit of a shot at the Braves yesterday for coming out a little lackadaisical in a Wednesday afternoon series finale. These two teams play each other 12 more times the rest of the way. It's going to be fun baseball every time they match up with one another, and they're going to be huge games. In order to win the division, you probably have to have the most wins against said division, and right now the Braves are third. They have to do better in that area. I imagine they'll get a few more wins this weekend against the Nationals. Hey, coming up, we're going to catch up with Phil Steele tomorrow. I was out of town last week when he was making his rounds. I know he was on Fan Talk last Friday. He'll be with us on the show tomorrow at 12:30. Always looking forward to that annual conversation. Got the magazine in my hands literally right now. I've been flipping through it. It's a great read. So looking forward to talking with Phil tomorrow and previewing the college football season. But when we come back along those lines, we'll preview it a little ourselves. Which of the conference championship games this past season in college football have the greatest chance of being repeated this year in college football? We'll get to that coming up. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Everybody was dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
We like our fun and we never fight. You can't dance and stay uptight. It's super.
Coming up, which conference championship game in college football is the best chance of repeating this year? Tomorrow, Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get back to our Gen X bingo card later on as well, but I could tell you, in the era of LimeWire and Napster, I hope we're past some sort of statute of limitations, that was one of those songs there that was always mislabeled, and then people would just think that that's who the song was by. If you used to download that song online, everyone would always label it as Van Morrison. And so then a bunch of kids would always say, oh, yeah, that song by Van Morrison. Life is a Highway was always a Tom Petty song on LimeWire. And then Sister Hazel's one hit was always credited to Blues Traveler. In fact, when I Google Sister Hazel, one of the first questions that comes up is Sister Hazel Blues Traveler? That's the LimeWire effect. That's how impactful that most people are Googling that. Because everybody thought of a certain generation, if you used to download music online, which, of course, none of us ever did, if somebody's listening, especially Metallica. But if you used to download your music online, there was a bunch of songs that was always mislabeled. That was one of them. Hey, which of the college football conference championship games have the best chance of repeating themselves this year? If we look at the five last year in the ACC, of course, it was Pittsburgh and Wake Forest. In the Big 12, you had Baylor, Oklahoma State. Big 10 was Michigan, Iowa. In the Pac-12, it was Utah, Oregon. And then in the SEC, it was Georgia and Alabama. I don't know if we want any of these games to actually repeat because only one was decided by less than 17 points. That was Baylor, Oklahoma State, which was a fun game. It was the best of the bunch. But even that game was the lowest scoring. So pick your poison. All right, either a close game but low scoring or a blowout with a bunch of points. And if you go back and look at these games, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, but most of the teams that reached the conference championship last year had win totals in Vegas of under, I think it was under 8.5, I believe it was. They were not expected to actually be there. You know, Pittsburgh, Wake Forest, Michigan, even Utah. So a lot of surprises. This year, which conference has the best chance of repeating that same championship? Well, I think it's right. I think we could all come up with a pretty obvious answer. In the ACC, Pittsburgh and Wake Forest, I think there's a belief that Clemson won't miss out on the conference championship game 2 years in a row. There's also some hype around Miami. There's concern about Pittsburgh replacing Kenny Pickett. Wake Forest kind of reaching their ceiling last year. Can they do it again? In the Big 12, you have Baylor and Oklahoma State. It could be interesting. But a lot of people are very excited. Oklahoma's the favorite. Texas is number two with Quinn Ewers coming in. And we are always attracted to those big brand names. So people are paying attention to Oklahoma or Texas. I could see Baylor and or Oklahoma State getting back there, especially Baylor. Good defensive team, good coach. And I think the Big 12 is wide open. In the Big Ten, Michigan and Iowa, well, the belief is that Ohio State, especially this year, will not miss out on the conference championship game once again. And they'll be there instead of Michigan. Utah, Oregon, possibility. I really like Utah this year. If you listen to the show, you know that. But most people think USC, already in year one of Lincoln Riley, that is their conference to lose. I don't know if that's the case. This is another one that I would also put towards the top half of this list. And before I get to the SEC, which I think would be the obvious answer, let me give you some context on what Vegas believes. When it comes to the ACC, Pittsburgh has the second-best odds, Wake Forest third-best, the two schools behind Clemson. So, in the eyes of Vegas, there's a pretty good chance that could happen again, Pittsburgh-Wake Forest. That is, if Clemson does not hold up their end of the bargain. In the Big 12, Baylor has the fourth-best odds to win the conference. Oklahoma State has the third-best, again, behind Oklahoma and Texas. So, for that matchup to continue once again this year, Texas will have to continue to disappoint, and Brent Venables will have to struggle a bit in year one. In the Big Ten, Michigan and Iowa, they have the second and the third best odds only behind Ohio State. So, you know, pretty good possibility there. However, Ohio State is such a favorite. They're in that top tier with Georgia and Alabama that it would be a big surprise if they're not in the Big Ten championship again this year. And in the Pac-12, Utah and Oregon have the second and third best odds only behind USC. Which is why I think, yeah, that could be likely, because I'm not as high on USC in year one. I think they'll be much better than last year. I don't know if they win the conference in the first year of Lincoln Riley. Some people have them going to the playoff. I don't think that's the case this year. I think there's a little bit of a learning curve in year one. You're bringing in all these pieces, hoping they gel. And I like Lincoln Riley, but, you know, there was a ceiling to what he could accomplish at Oklahoma. Then you get to the SEC. And this, of course, is the most obvious one. Georgia, Alabama. They're the two favorites to not only win the conference, they're two of the top three favorites, along with Ohio State, to win the national championship. So if you had to pick one conference championship game that could repeat, that, of course, is the safest bet. In fact, if I had to order these, SEC is number one. And then I'd probably put Utah, Oregon, probably number two in the Pac-12. And then Michigan, Iowa, number three. No, I take that back. I'd go Baylor, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State would be the wild card. But I'd probably put that number three. And then I put the Big Ten maybe fifth, ACC fourth. Because to put the ACC or the Big Ten higher, you would be banking on Ohio State disappointing again this year and Clemson disappointing. And I don't think that's the best bet to make. I think a safer bet would be Texas underperforming compared to Ohio State or Clemson. Or even USC underperforming compared to Ohio State or Clemson this year. But the SEC has the best chance of repeating Georgia, Alabama. In fact, I do think that's the SEC title game we will get because those have been the best two teams in the SEC over the last handful of years. Who's going to challenge Georgia? I think that's the better question than even Alabama. And Alabama's usually the safer bet. But do you think Kentucky could win that division? Tennessee, Florida in year one of Billy Napier, South Carolina with Spencer Rattler? There may be a bigger gap between Georgia and the rest of their division than Alabama and the rest of theirs. I mean, you got Texas A&M trying to nip at their heels. You have Brian Kelly at LSU. Maybe Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss takes a step forward after being a top 10 team last year. Arkansas is very intriguing. So that's probably the bigger question mark, but I'm always going to bet on Nick Saban. It's the same thing I say about Tom Brady, right? I'll be the one to turn out the lights on that Tom Brady party. Everyone else can leave. I'll clean up. I'll be the last one. You can all bail on Tom Brady, and people aren't really bailing on him as much now as a few years ago. Right, but everyone, he's over the hill, he's washed up. Maybe now you're concerned that he's 44. That's okay, you have those concerns. I'm not going to be concerned until he retires. I'll go down on that sinking ship. I'll take my chances. I'll be the last one. I'll clean up after everyone leaves the party. I'll turn off the lights. I'll lock the door. You guys go home. You bail on Brady. I'll be the last guy to do it. Same with Nick Saban. Every year. I don't care who's on the team, who they're playing, whatever. As long as Saban's at Alabama and they're in the SEC, I'm going to be the last one to doubt them. So I think Georgia has an easier path, and I think Alabama is just always a safer bet. Which conference championship game can repeat? I think it's clearly the SEC, Georgia-Alabama. I think that's the matchup we get. I don't think anybody can challenge Georgia, and I'm not going to go against Nick Saban. Not as long as he's at Bama. I think that division is going to be really interesting. It's the best division in football. But who would you feel safe, right? That's always a good measuring stick. Ask yourself, who would you feel most confident actually putting your hard-earned money on? Of course it's Saban. I'm not going to bet on LSU instead or Ole Miss or even Texas A&M, even if they have better odds. I don't care. I'm not throwing money away. So I would say Alabama, Georgia, of course, has the best chance of repeating and probably would be the only one that would actually repeat of conference championships. I think you could bank on Clemson and Ohio State getting back there. Maybe they won't, but it's a pretty safe bet. Maybe you think USC will win the Pac-12 this year or at least get to the championship game. Maybe you think Texas with Quinn Ewers or Brent Venables in year one will get to the Big 12. See, that's the big thing. You have big brands and all these other conferences that did not hold up their end of the bargain last year that are expected to this year. And the SEC was the one conference where, yeah, the two teams that we expected to be the best were actually the best, Georgia and Alabama. They actually came through, and I imagine they'll do the same again this year. They're always a safe bet. When we come back, it is a Throwback Thursday. We'll get back to our old-school bingo card and try to reminisce about some things that we did or did not experience in our childhoods. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio on a Throwback Thursday. There's this tweet going around. It's become like a meme now to use internet vernacular. From John Golson, who said, "You've just ordered Pizza Hut. You got a new copy of WWF No Mercy for Nintendo 64 and a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper. No school tomorrow. Your parents don't care if you stay up all night. A perfect summer night. You're 39 years old and the year is 2022. That's the tweet that's gone viral from John Golson. And the nostalgia hurt just from reading it. Now I got friends of mine in a group chat, right, talking about how that sounds just like me. Oh, man, let me tell you, back in the day, that's exactly what we used to do. And Pizza Hut, back in the day, that used to be the place to go because they used to have, like, the buffet and everything. Now it's just mostly a takeout place. But used to go and be all-you-could-eat pizza. As we get back towards our Gen X bingo card that we were doing last hour on a Throwback Thursday to try to reminisce about certain things in yesteryear. But first, Anderson, if you're ordering pizza, not from some local mom-and-pop shop, but a chain restaurant, what's the go-to out of, you know, Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Hut? What's the favorite one?
It's either Papa John's or Pizza Hut for me. I think Papa John's, and this might be because they were the sponsor of the NFL, but I would always get Papa John's on a Sunday and then just relax with my pizza and my garlic dipping sauce and then just watch some football. So I think I'll go Papa John's, Pizza Hut close second. I actually worked at Domino's for a summer.
Oh.
And it's one of those things, once you see the bacon made or whatever, so I don't really like Domino's anymore. But, I'll go Papa John's.
I get that. My brothers worked at Krispy Kreme back as a high school job. And, I don't think they've had donuts since. They used to bring home I loved it because they would bring home all the extra donuts. And even if it was like a day old, the next morning I'd wake up and all the donuts. Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. But I get that idea. What goes up? What's the pizza topping? What's the favorite type of pizza?
I love a good cheese. And then if it's not cheese, got to go like meat lovers. I love good meat lovers. And then something like pepperoni, bacon, extra cheese. Oh. I like that. When they've got like a 3-topping deal, something like that. So, you can go a number of different ways. But normally I just go straight cheese.
Man, now I haven't eaten yet today. You're talking me into getting some pizza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll get to our bingo card in just a moment. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734, on the text line. In regards to the conversation earlier about the NBA, somebody asked, or somebody said, did you notice all the NBA players you mentioned sitting out are stars? Is it ego? Have the stars become bigger than the game? Well, I think a couple of things. I do think ego certainly plays a role, but I also think only X number of guys, certain number of guys can do it, and the ones that are big enough stars, right? Kevin Durant can try to use this power. Now, according to reports, him and Kyrie are both finding out that maybe they're not as wanted as they thought. Maybe not as many teams are interested. Also, the asking price for Kevin Durant is very high, as it should be. But of course, right, ego plays into this. I also think, and I said this earlier this week, though, part of it is just how we look at these athletes and how we judge them and how we compare them to, say, Michael Jordan, who went 6-0, and you got to win all these finals. I mean, I think that's the reason why LeBron's moving around. Right, to try to go to the easier path. It's the same reason Kevin Durant, he left Oklahoma City to join Golden State because he couldn't beat Golden State. And then he got his rings at Golden State, and then he thought, okay, I still have to prove myself on my own. Let me go try to do that in Brooklyn with Kyrie. And in Brooklyn, it's been 3 years. They've won, what, one playoff series? And now it's like, okay, I want to go to his two teams he requested to be traded to, Miami and Phoenix. The two teams that have the best records in the conference this past year. The best team in the East, the best team in the West. It's not a coincidence. Durant wants to go to the best team so he can win more championships. And maybe that's a difference from years in the past where, you know, guys didn't do that as often. Jordan stayed with the Bulls. Bird and Magic and even Isaiah and all these stars. Patrick Ewing stayed with the Knicks even though they could never get past the Bulls. They Hakeem Olajuwon stayed with the Rockets. Right? Reggie Miller, the Pacers. These guys never left their teams. That's the big difference. But I think we have put such a large emphasis. If you don't win those championships, you are largely forgotten. Ask Dan Marino. Ask Charles Barkley, Stockton and Malone, even Reggie Miller. If they weren't working in the media, you wouldn't think about them as much. That we put such a large emphasis on these championships that I do get the idea from the players that, you know, they want to, they don't have that patience. They want to go wherever they can go win. In regards to the last question, have the stars become bigger than the game? I don't think so. Because I think the NBA is always going to be okay, right? Like, this was a concern. When Michael Jordan retired, the NBA did take a hit. Their ratings dropped by about 50%. And at the time, Jordan was seemingly bigger than the NBA. But then LeBron came along. And it took about 6 years before LeBron entered the league. And it took a couple years for LeBron to really get going, right? But then you have all sorts of different stars. And now, even as LeBron's a little bit older and Durant is in his mid-30s and Steph Curry's in his mid-30s, look at all the young talent in the league now. So, like, in general, have the stars become bigger than the game? Yeah, maybe. But I don't think any one particular star. The NFL does this really well. Like, when Tom Brady, when he does retire, they'll be just fine. There's not going to be any hit in the ratings. All right, you're going to tune in no matter who's playing. Brett Favre retired, Peyton Manning retired. It didn't matter. The NFL didn't take any sort of hit. The NBA did take a hit from Jordan. But I think right now they're in a good spot with all this young talent that when we get to that point when LeBron finally retires and Durant, I think they're producing enough young talent that there's enough guys you'd be interested in, like a Luka Doncic. Giannis will still be around. So in general, yeah, the stars probably have become bigger than the game because it is a star-driven league. The NBA is all about the stars. But I don't know if it's as big as one or two stars. Like, Durant may think he's the most important guy. Durant was injured a couple years ago. If Durant misses a year, I don't think, like, the NBA is folding. Kyrie Irving has sat out games the last 2 years. LeBron's been injured the last 3 years. He's playing out in the West Coast where not as many people are watching him. May not be ideal for the NBA, but it's not like, oh boy, right? The NBA's screwed because not everyone's watching LeBron James. The stars are bigger than the league itself, which is why they have this much power. But I think we're gotten to a point where there's enough stars now that the NBA will be okay. And with that, let's get back to our Gen X bingo card on a Throwback Thursday and see how many of these things we put Anderson to the test. He's doing a great job running the show. Let's see how many of these things here. It's labeled Gen X. As I said earlier, I think Gen X is even a little too old. That's people that were born in the 60s and 70s. Some of these things I think are more like 90s kids. But nonetheless, let's run through a few more of these before we go this Thursday afternoon. Did you ever have to use Collect to make a phone call?
Never. I honestly don't even know what that is.
Really? Not familiar. I don't think I ever used it. I know what it is. I remember the commercials, 1-800-COLLECT and the yellow background of the label. And the commercials were pretty funny. And even Geico used it in like a commercial where they called to tell their parents they had a kid in the hospital, right? And do you accept the call? And it's just him saying, hey, it was a boy named Nick, born 7 pounds, yada, yada, yada. So Geico used it in one of their commercials not too long ago. I don't think I ever actually used it. I was a big wrestling fan in the 90s. They would always advertise during wrestling. Did you ever have to... This is a good one for people of a certain age nowadays. Have you ever had to talk to a friend's parent before your friend actually got on the phone when you called them?
Yes, I can say that I have.
All right.
That. Yeah. I was probably like 10, 11 years old. We used to call the landlines.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time it'd be the parents picking up. So I actually have done that one.
That was always awkward. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just wanted to talk to your buddy. You don't want to have to make small talk with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told the story before, but one of my friends is Frank. He's Frank the Third. His father's Frank Jr. It was always the worst. We'd call, the father would answer, hey, is Frank there? He's speaking. Oh, is Frank Jr. there? Yeah, speaking. Oh, it's just the worst. I just want to talk to my buddy. I don't want to have to deal with the parents in the meantime. Then they ask, like, oh, what are you doing tonight, right? Because they're suspicious. Ah, just want to talk to my buddies. You ever have to cover your textbooks with paper grocery bags?
I did not. Was that like to save them from the rain or something on the way to school?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know why we did that. I guess, yeah, it was to protect the books. I guess in elementary school, you'd have to return them.
Mm-hmm.
College, you'd buy the books, but then you try to sell them back. So you always wanted to take good care. Some people wouldn't like highlight their books so they could sell them back. So I guess that the book covers was always a big deal, at least when I was growing up. And I guess, yeah, just to protect the books, I guess they would charge you more. I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like if you return a damaged book at the end of fifth grade. Are they charging you? I don't know. But that was a big deal. The book covers. You needed a cool book cover. And we used to have like a book fair in school, and you could buy the different types of covers. But a lot of kids, their mother would just do, my mother included, we would do just the paper bags instead of buying some sort of fancy design for the book cover. Do a paper bag, you write science book. That's it. And you knew that was your science book. You ever got a piercing at the mall?
I did not. I do think that girls my age have, though.
Yeah? Yes.
Yeah,
that's still a thing?
I think so. Or at least it was probably 8-10 years ago.
I don't have any piercings. But I tell you what, back in the day, there was a place called, I don't know if it's National or what, but it was in the malls where I was. I think it was Piercing Pagoda, I think it's called. That was a hot spot to get, like, you'd get jewelry for your girlfriend or whatever. That was a good spot. You get some cheap jewelry there. They would do piercings, but they'd also, you could buy a ring, you could buy a necklace. I think that's what it's called, Piercing Pagoda. That's where I went all the time for gifts. They were real cheap, and nobody would know. Let's see what else we have on here. I have to make sure I say this properly. You ever star 69 somebody on the phone? You ever star 69?
Yes. Yeah, because then they couldn't see the caller ID. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So you're doing prank calls, huh?
Back when I was young, when you can get away with it.
Yeah. Well, my buddies and I, we did a lot of prank calls back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Good way to pass the time. Have you ever ate from paper products with abstract teal and purple squiggle art on them?
Yes. Yeah, and those little cups, too.
Yep.
The paper cups. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like a famous little design there, honestly, these days.
It is, because it's become like a fashion statement. They now have like shirts with that design.
Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe for Halloween, I don't know, but people get like sweatsuits where the pants and the shirt have that same design. Oh, that's an iconic design.
Oh, yeah.
Of your paper products back in the day. The plates and the cups, absolutely. I'm sure this was far before your time. Did you ever scam Columbia House or BMG out of free CDs or cassettes in the mail?
I can't say that I did that one.
I'm familiar with it, but that was even before. Like I said earlier, my generation is the one that would download music online. But back in the day, you used to be able to get CDs or even albums, cassettes for like a dollar from Columbia House. And they would mail them to you. When you were homesick from school, would you watch The Price is Right?
No, I... Jeopardy, though. I would watch Jeopardy.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I was never really into Price is Right or even Jeopardy.
Yeah.
That was always the worst, though. You were homesick from school, which you appreciated, but there was never anything good to watch.
Yeah.
You'd have to watch, you know, when I was growing up, it was like the Steve Wilkos show and Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Judge Judy, who I know some of those are still on. Have you ever eaten tan M&Ms?
No. Is that real?
I think I've had them.
Wow.
I think I remember it. Now, do M&Ms, do they have a different flavor to them, or are they all the same?
I think they're all the same.
Yeah, I think so, too. People always say that they taste different.
Yeah,
I know they call them... they call them what, readers when, not the glasses, but they're writers. Writers, right? It's writers when celebrities, performers get to, they give their list of what they want for a venue. So if somebody comes perform in Charleston, they give their list ahead of time to the venue they're coming to perform, a musician, a stand-up comedian, whatever, of the things they request in their dressing room. Usually they have to pay for most of the stuff, but it's what they want. Anyways, I know a family that had a catering business when I grew up, and they used to work with the local amphitheater for all the concerts. And when Motley Crue came and Tommy Lee's request was only a certain color. I wish I remembered. Are there purple M&Ms? I think it was only one color. He wanted a bowl of only like green M&Ms. He wanted M&Ms, but only one specific color. I don't think there's a difference.
Yeah.
But Tommy Lee thought there was. Tan M&Ms. A few more. I definitely did this. I have the t-shirt to prove it. Did you graduate from D.A.R.E.?
Oh, I know what that is. It's the it's the drugs thing, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah, I know what that is. We had like a different sort of thing. They didn't do the whole D.A.R.E. campaign, but we definitely had those speakers come to our school.
Yeah, I don't know if it worked. but D.A.R.E. to resist drugs and violence, which D.A.R.E. is actually drug abuse resistance education. There you go. That's where D.A.R.E. comes from. Yeah, I had the t-shirt. You would quote-unquote graduate, and you get your little like paper diploma, and you hang it on the wall, and your parents are proud. You pass D.A.R.E. You're in like fifth grade at the time. You never know what they're talking about half the time. I love this one. Did you ever injure yourself with either a slip and slide, a pogo ball, skip it, or moon shoes?
We did the slip and slides. I'm not sure if I ever injured myself to the point where I remember it, but I don't know those other things. What's the pogo ball? Is that not a pogo stick?
No, if I remember correctly, my cousins had this, I think, if it's the pogo ball, where you would tie it around one ankle and you would swing the ball around and you'd have to jump over it. If I remember correctly, that may be another toy. I don't know. But that my cousins had that back in the day. Moon shoes I did not do. Skip it. Skip it was big. Or actually, I may be thinking of that other handheld game. Was that called Skip It?
Bop It.
Bop It. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And Skip It is actually what I just described, I think. I just Googled Skip It. That's the one where you tie it around your ankle.
Okay.
So now, pogo ball. I don't know what a pogo ball is. And now I have to Google this. Yeah, Bop It. I just Googled pogo ball. I'm not familiar with that. Bop It was all the rage, so you're familiar with Bop It.
Oh, yeah. I had those, yeah.
Yeah, that was big time.
Yeah.
Two last ones here on Gen X Bingo. Did you wallpaper your bedroom with posters?
I kind of still do that to this day in my dorm room in college. So, yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff on my walls.
Back in the day, it was Sports Illustrated everybody wanted to put on their walls.
Yeah.
What are you doing now? Nowadays, people used to cut out from magazines and put those on the walls. Are you buying posters? Are you printing things out? Nowadays, what are kids doing to actually put those things up on the wall?
Usually it's just stuff I've accrued, like, when you go to, like, the South Carolina basketball games, they have them at the doors. So
right.
I grab two or three of those, get some football ones, and then I like to get a pennant. I've been to, like, a handful of bowl games, so I usually get a pennant from the little gift shop there and put those on the wall. It's just kind of, like, more of sports memorabilia stuff, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love that. I love that pennants have stood the test of time. I have a bunch of pennants hanging in my home as well. My parents do as well. We have all sorts of pennants from over the years. Love those. Lastly, there's a couple other ones I skipped, but the last one, do you still have anxiety from America's Most Wanted, Unsolved Mysteries, or Rescue 911? You ever watch any of those shows?
Is that like basically Dateline, one of those old
shows? Yeah, pretty
shows?
Much, yeah.
Yeah, I never watched any of those. Not even Dateline, really, but I think my parents do. My dad likes all those mystery murder shows.
America's Most Wanted was big, though. That was big time when that was, I don't know, I guess it's not on the air anymore. I don't know. Because they were America's Most Wanted was about people that were still actively on the loose.
Oh, wow.
So then you would watch it and it'd say, like, if you have any information, call this number. If you see this person. So then people get freaked out. They think they're in the backyard. Right? You see somebody go through your bushes at night and you think, oh, shoot, that's the guy I just saw in America's Most Wanted last night. So that's where the anxiety comes in from. People would watch that show and think, like, oh, shoot, this guy's in our town.
Yeah.
Especially if it was something that hit close to home. On Throwback Thursday, if you were playing at home, there you go, Gen X Bingo. How many of those things do you remember from when you were growing up? I don't know if I actually got bingo, but I knew a few of them. We'll wrap up your Thursday and we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up your Thursday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. And the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store, and through the app, you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 9 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday. If you missed anything from this afternoon, go find it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, to find the show in full. Coming up tomorrow will be like a quasi-football Friday, as we are about 7 weeks out from college football. Phil Steele will join us around 12:30 tomorrow to preview the upcoming college football season. In the meantime, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.